All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Rant Show. I've got Dead Penetration here, and no one else right now. So let's go ahead and get started. First of all, let's thank our sponsor who we had on last week, Revy of the Spinning Robot Pussy. Remember, you can get the Spinning Robot Pussy at spinningrobotpussy.com. And, of course, he's got other things going on, so definitely check out Revy Innovations for all your spinning robot pussy needs. Now, I've got some things to talk about. So, we are going to be doing some different things here on this month at the Grimm's Dungeon. And what we're doing this month is, well, it's Pride Month, so we do our waifu sexual and husbando. This is a new one. Husbando sexual Pride Month. So we're actually going to be promoting both the waifu games that you love, and we're going to dip into stuff that Fujoshi are more into, because I've had some requests for it. Obviously, I can't show this on MGTOW.TV, so it is a BitChute exclusive, and a lot of my fans are there on BitChute. So, again, if you're not interested in the husbando stuff, don't watch it. Don't unsubscribe or anything. Don't worry, I'm still going to be giving you the same AVNs that we've been doing. I'll just be doing a couple of yaoi novels, or boys' love novels. And the first one I'm starting with is Taigano no Chi, which is a fucking awesome story. Remember, it's Nitro Plus, which is the biggest publisher in the East for visual novels. Don't forget, one of the biggest companies. They just produced a lot of BL. And remember, the BL is written by women. She wrote all three of the novels we'll be doing. So, yeah. It's for Fujos, and I was getting into a fight with some Fujos. Some Fujos are like, not all Fujos are fem cells, but a lot of Fujos are. And if you are both, or neither, I don't care, but it's for you, you know, because we give the waifu fans what they want, so we'll give the Fujos and the husbando fans what they want as well. Obviously, that kind of thing is not my thing sexually, but, you know, it's something different, and I think the Fujos might appreciate a man reading that kind of thing. I just think...
They sure don't when you read a woman.
I don't know. I seem to get a lot of... people don't seem to mind at all.
I'm sure they don't.
I've never got anything reading about
the story,
that.
It's yeah. Not going to be...
But, so, yeah, we'll be doing those. I'll be starting with Taigano no Chi. And, of course, I'm going to see how well it does. I'll be checking. If it doesn't do so well, we'll stop it. But if it does do okay, I see no reason why we shouldn't continue. Especially since it does have a really badass story. And, unfortunately, for a lot of guys, well, I don't like men. I don't either. But I will say that some of the bloodiest, brutal, and goriest stories in the fucking genre are in there. The craziest over-the-top shit they can't even get by with on regular anime is in there.
That's what they're gonna use as fuel. That's why we need to keep the gays out of
there. No, it's completely... This is
it's
a
like,
complete...
Look what they're doing, and then they're murdering people in anime style.
It's completely different from the LGBT situation here in the United States.
I know.
Because food... Yaoi and Yuri... Like, you think Yuri's for lesbians. No, Yuri's for men. Yaoi? Oh, well, that's for gay men. No, Yaoi is for women. Straight women in particular. That's the main audience for Yaoi. It's always that weird woman. A lot of women read Yaoi. And there's a... Machida did a very good video on it. Machida, a comedian from Japan, he did an excellent video on what... Fujoshi love about it, and it made so much sense. I mean, and remember, these are all women, straight women, and you're like, oh, I see why they like this now. It made so much sense to me. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that they're men on men. It's the fact that these are men they don't have to fight over. Seriously. They're men they don't have to fight over. There's never any real... It's... Again, I kind of want to explore the genre a little bit before I actually, you know, get in there. But from what I've heard, it's more romantic. The male relationship is more romantic. It's less Like, with our kind of games, you know, there's... I mean, I'm sure there is some brutal stuff that goes on in there. I've heard it can be rather brutal. But it's more romantic, and that's what they love. They love that that these men aren't just over the top, and it's different. But anyway, all I know is FemCells love this shit. They posted a lot about it in FemCell forums. It's constantly posted in FemCell forums. And by the way, I have seen some of these FemCells. Y'all are going to be like, how in the fuck? Okay, first of all, it's not a woman that can't get sex. It's a woman that can't find the man that she wants to have a relationship with. That's the difference. That's why this gorgeous fucking woman... By the way, I'm gonna show you right here and now a fucking FemCell. And you're gonna freak out because there's no way in the goddamn hell that this woman should be a FemCell. Let me see here if I've got... Yeah, alright. So, we're going to look at her right now, because I know she has some photos. Let's see here.
And there's women that don't
think they can. This is a woman that...
What?
Yeah. She's a fucking FemCell.
Can't find a man.
She can't find the man that she wants.
That she wants. Well, that's a lot of women. That is a lot of boy.
And I will tell you one thing. I would tell you one thing though. One thing that you guys don't know about FemCells, they get a lot of sex. A lot of casual sex. A lot of casual sex. One told me in particular that she wanted to have casual sex until she hit the wall. She knew what hitting the wall meant. She said, while I'm young, I want to get fucked by as many guys as possible. And then after that, when I'm 30 or whatever, it is what it is.
You know what, Bab? She doesn't realize women's sexual peak is in their, like, 40s and 50s. They get more hypersexual when they're older than when they're
younger.
Yeah,
but they get less actual, you know, sex at that point.
They take care of themselves.
Yeah, but these dude women today are not.
Yeah.
So, we're going to see the crate
for what you want.
Yeah, we're gonna see what happens in the future, but that's pretty much what I'm getting from a lot of these girls. They're getting sex.
Yeah,
they just want. They want.
Incel is way different than a guy's idea.
No. The word incel has changed a lot. Originally, incel meant a guy that could not get sex. Incel has now been changed and heavily adopted by the community as a man that doesn't have a wife or children. Seriously, that is legitimately what an incel is regarded to. A man who is not currently, does not have a family. If you do not have a family and you're a man and you have not bred, you are an incel. Why have you not bred? You are in your 30s. Why have you not bred? You are in your 40s. That is the common complaint that I get from...
Breed into their... As long as
no, I'm talking about that. They're saying you should have bred by now. If you shouldn't... They believe... No. Let me explain everything. They say that if you haven't bred by... Now, this is an assumption, by the way. But they say that if you are in your 30s or your 40s and you haven't bred... That must mean there's something wrong with you. Women don't want to be with you or marry you. So, yeah, that's what their assumption. And they have, I mean, and you can argue to the cows come home. Well, it's this or this or that or this. But they don't care because you got to understand their only real...
well, it's the narrow-mindedness liberals and different forms of... Weirdness.
Well, no, but these guys aren't liberals.
Well, it's not that. I'm just saying.
They're trash.
It's the same kind of...
It's...
What is it?
It's...
Mental capacity. It's like not thinking of...
Yeah.
Different things. Like, I'm happy.
It's like what... It's what you would call an extreme traditionalist mindset.
Yeah.
If you haven't had family and kids, what are you doing? Because a lot of these guys believe, wholeheartedly... That the only purpose a man has on this earth, as by all the old holy books, they take the Bible, the Quran, and all of them and throw them into a pile. All that old wise knowledge. They say, if you haven't bred, if you don't have children, then you're not doing as God suggested, as God told you to do.
If God wanted me to, he would have done, put them in my path, because that is the main deal.
No, absolutely.
I mean, updated.
Oh, yeah, I have too. And
believe me, it's been very clear. I have been lucky that they hadn't been able to, you know, because some women can fool you up until you say I do, and then they become a completely different person.
Right.
I've at least been able to find it out before I say I do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's what we're talking about here. That's the problem with these guys, you know, it's all about this extreme traditional, you know, they say like far left and far right. It's like it's almost like a far right traditionalist mindset. When I mean, yeah, it would be far right because it would be extreme traditionalism, not just like having a kid's family. You must have a kid. How dare you not have a kid in family? You're destroying society. Oh, yeah, they believe, you know, that's why they get their porn is evil and all that other stuff. Because of porn, you don't have kids in a family.
There's plenty of reasons why it's become more common. Social media, I feel like, is probably one of the top
We know. At least. Yeah, yeah, I've gone into that. But all right. So that's the opening, and yes, we will be doing more of, we're going to dip our toe into the world of yaoi, or yaoi, whatever the fuck you call it. Yaoi, I think, is what it's called, but we're going to dip our toe in it. Don't worry, I won't be doing any gay AVNs, because I'm not interested in gay AVNs. They've got nothing to offer me. Sorry, folks, I'm not doing that. For anybody, the two or three of you that were interested, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but yes, we'll do some yaoi shit. Just to see what the fuck it's like, and if I can get through it, and maybe the Fujos will like it. I don't know. It's whatever.
Because anal sex makes you go, yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. It gets worse than that, by the way.
I believe you.
Okay. What the hell? Running with Scissors just posted a statement. Don't use CD. Oh, wow. Oh, that's surprising. Running with Scissors has an update today.
Yeah.
CD key sites like G2A, which I used to use back in the day, have been hurting indie studios for years. Want to support us? Buy from our website. No money? Just pirate our games. Just don't buy from those key reselling websites that may or may not contain illegally obtained keys. Wow, that is very interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't use G2A, but I used to use G2A years ago, and I sold some keys on that I had got from the Humble Bundle or some other places. Oh, yeah. This was years and years ago, guys. I mean, 2015, 2016, like a long time ago. But,
oh, did you see that video? I think it's like a Korean K-pop band or something. One of the dancers, I think I saw it on Twitter or Instagram. Mm-hmm. It had like warning of very gruesome content. And I was like, well, now you know I'm going to push play. Push play. Dude's dancing on stage with the other dancers. And he's moving around. And like it was planned, one of the big screen TVs that the people can see the show from the back fell, hit him straight on the head, and collapsed the whole head to neck, and probably the shoulders and everything, but like everything else was hanging out like the Wizard of Oz, but not in a great way. But it was crazy. I think I watched it like 10 times. It was just so nuts. Yeah, it looks like a cartoon, but it is not.
Okay.
Just interesting thing to search for.
Yeah, yeah. So keep talking. Because I have to... Alright, so I think... I'm trying to figure out... Let's see. Where was I at? Woman said she's banned. Woman... Okay. Oh, that was something I wanted to go through. But... Alright, hold on.
Jeez, I could always do a... Maybe a separate page or something.
Women reveal so she can. Influencer 8, part of her, you know, we'll do that later. There's one, I know exactly which one. Oh, no, we gotta do that. Hold on. Not that one. No, we want to do that later. I'm trying to figure out what exactly, because this is probably far back. Hold on, alright, nope. Let's see. Oh, no. Okay. All right. So we are. All right. We're on the right track now, I think. Yeah. Yeah. No. We'll go past that. Go past that.
Yeah.
Poor relationship with one's. What? Anyway, let me see. Okay, that was 5-8. I think we were on 4:30.
4:30.
Yeah, like. Yeah, like.
On articles?
Yeah.
While we're deciding on which date that was, I'm going to grab that Dr. Pepper.
Go ahead. All right. Oh shit. I'm not even really sure. Let's see. I'm not even really sure on this one. There's been so many articles. It's just crazy.
Oh man.
Let's see. Damn, how far back did we... Like, the thing is, there was so much that we went through. I was trying to figure out... Okay, so we went through that. Okay, no, okay, we did that. Eddie Murphy. Alright, I think it's 428. We're gonna read these. Magazine which broke the... Okay, now remember, this is like last month. So we're going through them. Daily Mail. The iconic paper magazine broke internet Kardashian cover, lays off their staff. They laid off their staff Wednesday, 4/28, due to declining ad revenue. Yep.
Oh, the Kardashians did?
No. Paper magazine, which was known for the iconic butt cover that they did. Okay, this one's interesting. Whatever you say about Emma Watson, I actually like this. According to Fandom Wire, I'm really proud of her. Emma Watson blames her Harry Potter role for making her refuse drugs and nudity on screen to protect legacy. Emma Watson, who is popular for her roles, Hermione Granger, is one of the most skilled and elegant actresses in the entertainment industry. The actress started a career with the Harry Potter franchise and was part of the series to the end. She's also been a model and women's rights activist. She was critically acclaimed for a role in Perks of Being a Wallflower in 2012, a fairy tale-based movie Beauty and the Beast commercial hit, nominated for Academy Awards. Okay, among the numerous movies done by the actress, she has been very particular about not using drugs and avoiding nudity. Oh, not using drugs on screen and avoiding nudity. Watson opened up in an interview about the reason for her choice of movies. I'm not going to get my kid off or snort cocaine in a film just to leave Hermione behind. I'm not going to do something shocking. I'm so paranoid or insecure that I can't play another role convincingly. I don't want everyone to forget me as Hermione. I'm really proud of her. She also stated in another interview, I've been saying since I was 16 that if it's an interesting character and important for the character development, of course it's important to do the story, then I'll do it because I'm an actress. And that's it, really. She says she feels terrified of doing roles other than Hermione Granger. She says, I didn't know if I believed in myself yet as an actress outside the role of Hermione, which I knew I could do, and I did for a long time. I didn't know if I had other people in me or not. I did doubt myself a little bit. I think I just played one person who in many ways was similar to my own personality, and I played her for 10 years, and I got so comfortable doing that that the idea of coming out playing somebody else was terrifying. After the Harry Potter series, I didn't feel very confident myself as an actor. It's rather sheer luck that I've improved now, but back then I needed someone to believe in me. And someone, and obviously Steven, current director, did. Okay. So, we've got another article here. This woman claims she has hot... she claims that she is a victim of hot phobia. A member of OnlyFans was asked to leave the store because of her skimpy clothing, but she thinks she was the victim of hot phobia. In Brazil, Carole Chavez was strutting through the grocery store in a virtually see-through white tank top with a bra and high-cut denim shorts that almost looked like bikini bottoms. 21-year-old shopper alleges that while she was minding her own thing, other customers were giving her unpleasant stares and abusive insults. After this, the personnel at the store allegedly asked her to leave. Chavez posted on Instagram, "Just came from the supermarket and was bullied for wearing too short clothes. Some individuals gave me strange looks, some cursed at me, and eventually I was kicked out of the site."
Was it the see-through top, maybe?
The adult entertainer turned to her 437,000 followers for support after becoming upset over the treatment she received at the store. "Do you think it's true? Because we women still wear however we like. I find it ludicrous that this is how we are treated. The truth is that we only experience it when we are too hot." She didn't get the reaction she was hoping for, though, as the majority of respondents appeared to side with the critical shoppers at the store. One critic commented below the Instagram photo, "No need to go to a supermarket dressed like that. You are making decent people there frequently bring their kids look bad." Chavez later told Nude PR, "I felt offended by the gratuitous hate I received both in the market and in my Instagram posts. I think all these insults have more to do with the hot woman phobia I face daily."
Well, keep putting up posts like that and you'll keep getting that hot woman phobia.
Yeah, with an ass like that.
I guarantee you, if she just shuts her mouth, she'll have everything she ever wanted.
Gwyneth Paltrow... All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the second part of the Grim Rant Show. We had an interesting thing happen, and I've taken all that out, so... and, of course, I made a video about that, so you guys know what it is. But, hey, we decided, let's continue the freaking show. I got Dead Penetration here, and we are back to finish what we started. First, we got Daily Mail. Daily Mail always giving us these crazy articles. Now... This one here is, "I'm a sugar baby." It basically said, "I paid by older men to go on dates and travel the world." And it says she feels more respected by her sugar daddies than her ex-partners. I wonder why. A sugar baby said blokes pay her to go on dates, travel the world, and enjoy paid-for shopping trips. And she even feels more respected by her sugar daddies than her ex-partners. Charlotte Davies, 24, from London, began casually dating last summer after ending an 8-year relationship until she was inspired by a TV series that explores the world of the sugar baby side hustle. Now, if you guys don't think that TV isn't inspiring these women, you got another thing coming, because it certainly is.
All the worst ways.
In January this year, 24-year-old started using an app that connects women with men who are willing to pay hundreds for dinner dates, holidays, and even sex. The social media marketing executive shared her story on TikTok last month, where she claims she's given money to just exist. To literally just exist. Meanwhile, you're busting your fucking ass at the office, you're busting your ass in the warehouse, or maybe you fix things for a living, you're under the damn... You know, you're under houses fixing plumbing, and you got, or you're in the working in the sewers, the sewage. Oh. There's people that do that. There's trash, guard.
The thing about that is where a man in the same position would have to work their ass off and maybe still make half as much.
Yeah.
A woman could thrive, like in the service industry where you're a waitress or a waiter. Women know the game. When they're waitresses, they flirt and all this.
Yep.
And they earn their money, but they can probably do half the work and still get paid more than a man.
Yeah.
I had a friend that was a bartender, and of course, we work where we work. And she's like, "Man, it's a slow night. I only made $300. I was like, "Fuck you.
Yeah.
That's my..." At the time, that was what I was making a paycheck.
Yeah.
And she's making it in the night, calling it slow.
Yeah.
I'm like, "Shoot, I can't afford you."
Yeah. Oh, exactly, exactly. But again, just literally to just exist. There's so many men that would love to be paid to just fucking exist. Yet, no, you either work or you die. You don't work. What is it? He who does not work, nor shall he eat. I think that's what the Bible said. While being taken to amazing places without spending a penny. Oh, okay. Charlotte claims that her sugar daddies have taken her on trips to Paris, stumped up for first-class travel, and forked out for dinner, drinks, and hotels. And they pay her $200 a date just to fucking be there.
Yeah.
She's not even that attractive.
Oh, well, that's the thing.
Good God! Look at... I don't know, man. She doesn't look... Here, she's look. Far from... I mean, she's a maybe?
I mean, good Lord. No.
No.
She, I mean, I would.
I wouldn't pay money for her.
No. That's like a Happy Meal. You expect the toy.
The Londoner claims that her cohort of rich businessmen and bankers are really nice people, and that she is enjoying having the benefits of a traditional relationship without the commitment. The modern dater says that she feels more respected. By the way, this girl, would you fucking rate her a goddamn 5? 4?
Well, I'd say 5 starting to get ugly. She's not ugly. 6? She's not gorgeous or nothing. She may be a tiny bit thick. I don't know. But
No. I was saying a 6.
She's kind of a plain Jane. Average.
Yeah,
definitely average.
Yeah, this is not a beautiful woman.
Gorgeous people in our town.
Yeah, we've seen people way more. Okay, just today, I was working in the grocery section. I saw way more beautiful people than her.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
There are some gorgeous women in our area.
Yeah.
There are some
ugly ones. And that one right there, she's not even. Uh-uh.
Nope.
The modern dater says that she feels more respected by her 10 sugar daddies than she did by the men from more conventional apps that she dated casually, and finds the arrangement to be mutually beneficial. Well, of course!
If
you're not getting anything...
Fucking get... She's getting free meals, free money.
Yeah.
She's gonna be a lazy ass. She ain't gonna be worth nothing.
No.
Thanks, rich people, for taking her off our plate. We can date the hot girls that are willing to work for what they want.
Right. Charlotte goes on one or two dates with her sugar daddies a week and enjoys boosting their self-esteem and claims they do the same for her in return.
Good Lord.
The part-time sugar baby claims that she meets with potential sugar daddies first to see whether they get along before discussing rates for dates and sex.
Their self-esteem must be rock bottom.
Charlotte said at the time, I'd gotten out of an 8-year-long relationship, so I knew that I didn't want to get into anything serious anytime soon.
She let herself go.
She did.
Pretty.
The only dating I was doing was very casual, so I just thought that this was like what I'm doing anyway, except I wasn't getting paid for it.
Now, this isn't extreme, because she's not obese by any
means. No.
She's not, she's no model, for sure.
Yeah.
If someone like that I was talking to had a good personality and was fun to be around and had the same interest, I might date her. But if I'm ordering off a menu, that's not what I'm ordering. I'm wanting fucking ribeye. I don't want ground round. I want the top cut.
Yeah, you're right. And it said, I feel like the kind of vibe you have with a lot of these people is that it's almost like friends with benefits. It is.
It's not even that. It's because you don't have to pay your friends for the benefit.
It's a very mutually beneficial agreement. They're all really nice people, and they're normally quite a bit older than me. A lot of them are in their late 30s. Well, as a guy in his late 30s, I'm not fucking dating her. Up to their 40s. I dated a guy once who was 63. Sometimes they'll take me shopping and pay for everything, or take me to spas. And I actually went to Paris. Traveling is something I love anyway that I can't afford to do a lot of the time, so it was really lovely to have everything paid for, plus getting paid to travel, which is amazing. A lot of them are a bit socially awkward and shy, so it can be a bit of a challenge to get people to open up, but it's something I enjoy trying to do. Well, I mean, it is what it is.
You look better in your picture. No.
At the same time as well, it makes me feel really good and confident seeing these people. The guys I meet up with are so complimentary, and I think it comes from the fact that a lot of them have quite upsetting home lives or are quite lonely. it feels like it means a lot to them when you see them. It feels like you're adding value to their life, which is really nice. Ugh. You almost wouldn't expect it because of the nature of the arrangement, but I do feel more respected by these men than by the men I've had the misfortune to date in the past. I don't know if it's just me having been unlucky with the guys I've chosen in the past, but there's something about guys who are slightly older,
pay for everything,
who seem to have seen more of life and has realized what's important. Money! It feels like it's almost a lot of the benefits of a traditional serious relationship, but without the commitment, which is what I don't want at the moment. The sugar baby claims that her dates have provided her with a financial boost and that she is saving the money from her sugar daddies to fund travel and hopefully a house in the future. Although Charlotte isn't planning on ditching her plethora of lovers anytime soon, the 24-year-old admits that she would stop if she got into a serious relationship. She says, I'm always assessing and reassessing whether this is the right thing for me, and if it ever stops being the right thing for me, I'd end my arrangements. I'm saving for more travel trips in the future and saving to buy a house one day, and it's massively helping me. I definitely say it's something I really can't... I really enjoy. I can't see it stopping anytime soon. The only thing that would make me stop would be if I met someone who I wanted to be in a serious monogamous relationship with. If so, I'd end all my arrangements with my sugar daddies. Until that happens, it's something that really suits my way of life right now.
It
suits everything I want out of life, and I get the little financial boost where I can save and fund things that I want to do.
Nope.
Yep, not me.
Makes me sick.
Okay.
I cannot stand that.
I was going to send this one to TFM because he needed a laugh. I'm sure he needs the laugh here. Okay. Woman who hit headlines after marrying a ragdoll claims her partner has cheated on her again, leaving her so upset she removed his penis. A woman who hit the headlines after marrying a ragdoll that her mother made for her claims her partner has cheated on her once again.
Crazy.
Marivone Rocha Moraes from Brazil has become well known over the past few years for sharing the ins and outs of her and the inanimate object's relationship. Following the alleged cheating, the 37-year-old says the love rat is now sleeping on the sofa and she even took away his penis. She said, I found out when my friend sent me a message one evening saying that he was cheating on me. So that night, I got really bad.
What he did, he got all his other friends together. Watch this crazy shit. Hey, Fernando is cheating on you.
So that night, I got really bad and made him sleep on the couch. Hey, doll owners, don't you just hate it when your doll just, you know, hops out of bed and goes on her own and starts fucking every Tom, Dick, and Harry? I mean, don't you hate it when they cheat on us like that? I don't know. I think it's...
Or a hairy dick named Tom.
Yeah, just absolutely ridiculous, guys. Yeah. But, and as his punishment, Marivone decided to detach Marcelo's dildo penis. She added, it's just a white rubber dildo which measures about 16 centimeters, so I decided to take it off. I've done it before. I'm afraid other women will touch Marcelo. Jesus, she looks like Empress in the face. Well, touch Marcelo's penis, so I like to put it in the underwear drawer when we go out to bars or shows. Then there is no chance of any other woman lusting after him.
Probably the same thing. No masturbating. Okay, that's it. I'm taking your penis.
Yep. Yeah. Marcelo has allegedly cheated on Marivone in the past. She said, last time I found a bright pink thong on the floor. What if it was hers?
I think your friends are just fucking... Because they know it's crazy as hell.
I found out that Marcelo had been with another woman, but when I asked who they were, he didn't answer me.
No shit. Oh my goodness. Yep, she won't ever find a real man.
Marcelo is naughty. He goes after women and then lies to me that nothing happens. She also claims that the ragdoll has over 500 contacts on his WhatsApp, all of which are women. She added, every now and then, I catch him in a conversation with a girl. When I ask who it is, he tries to say it's his cousin. For now, Marcelo continues to sleep on the sofa and hasn't received his penis back yet. Marivone announced last summer that she had welcomed her third child with her ragdoll husband, just as the pair returned from their honeymoon in Rio de Janeiro.
Is it a pair of socks? What?
They have little baby ones. I shit you not. It comes after Marivone launched a desperate bid to find their ragdoll child after he was kidnapped. Marivone claimed baby Marcelinho is being held hostage by captors who are demanding 161 euros for his release. The concerned mother revealed the worrying... God, it sounds like Empress! The concerned mother revealed the worrying development following a roller coaster romance with the ragdoll, which has also involved a cheating scandal in which she accused her husband of an affair. As she waits to hear news on her baby son's whereabouts, she posted a TikTok video of herself putting up flyers in her neighborhood, urging people to come forward if they have any information. Meanwhile, the helpless mother, who has quit working while she searches for her son, revealed she is terrified of revealing a video of her son sat in a corner of an abandoned building earlier this week. She's absolutely goddamn insane. Maravone said, "There's part of me worried they will set him on fire. I can't sleep. Marcelo is up all night calling his son's name. Diego and Carol are sad because they can't understand where their brother is." Revealing she is terrified, she said the stress and worry is all too much. She claims she and Marcelo have enlisted a group of friends and family to scour the streets looking for their youngest child. She added, "I just love him so much. I'm left here thinking, are they giving him a bath? Are they giving him clean milk? Are they taking good care of him? Deep down, my mother's intuition is telling me he's fine. But I just don't know what is happening."
I bet her mom regrets ever making her a ragdoll.
Maravone, who is the sole breadwinner of the family, revealed she has given up work while she searches for her son, and the captors demand 7,000 in Brazilian real for his safe return. She's putting up missing person flyers. That's a real thing. She has shared photos of herself sleeping side by side with her son, showing the close mother-son bond. In her bid to find Marcelino, the mother has uploaded videos of herself putting up missing person posters on her social media accounts. And one video, which has over 990,000 views on TikTok, she sits with her husband as they announce the devastating news. Maravone announced last summer that she had welcomed their third child with their ragdoll husband just as the pair returned home from the honeymoon. She gave birth in just 35 minutes at home with a doctor and nurse on site while live streaming the event to an audience of 200 people. Jesus Christ! Hold on. I'm sending this to TFM right now. While we're here, I'm going to do that right now. Let's see here. Let's see. All right, just one second. This woman is absolutely insane. I'd love to know what he thinks about this woman. Oh my God. Okay, look, I have a doll, we know that. But, no! That's like, I don't even know, that's crazy. So, Apple is doing a partnership. They're saying that Apple's partnership with Goldman is the future of banking. I'm worried as fuck about that. Last week, Apple effectively dropped the mic on the nation's banking industry. While the average bank is paying less than 0.5% on saving accounts, the $2.6 trillion technology company announced it would be offering 4.15% annual returns to savers. No minimums, no lockups, and FDIC insured. The new product rollout comes at a time when regional banks are scrambling in the wake of the Silicon Valley bank crisis to maintain their deposit bases, and cash-starved fintech startups are likewise struggling. Technically, Apple doesn't have a banking license. It is fronting for Goldman Sachs Bank USA, otherwise known as Marcus, which has a state charter and is FDIC insured. In fintech parlance, Apple is a neobank like Chime, Revolut, and Monzo, except its brand strength is unparalleled given that there are more than 2 billion iPhones globally, now serving as Goldman's branch network. So, they're trying to combine Apple with a bank? I don't like that. Something about that doesn't seem very good to me. Okay, how to beat the lotto. Meet the Aussie who won the jackpot 14 times with a simple math formula, taking home more than $30 million. Okay, guys, you might want to pay attention to this. A person's chances of winning a major lottery approximately 1 in 14 million. But mathematician Stefan Mandel defeated, or Stefan Mandel, it's like Hallie Mandel. So Stefan Mandel defied the odds to win the jackpot 14 times during his heyday, and he did so without breaking a single law, the lottery critic reported. The Romanian-born Australian citizen used his wits and affinity for numbers to create a near-perfect formula to crack the system. If a single lottery game asked the player to choose six numbers from 1 to 40, Mr. Mandel could establish five of those numbers in a series of steps. Number 1. Calculate the number of total possible combinations. 2. Seek out lotteries with a winning margin of at least 3 times the amount of combinations. 3. Raise enough funds to purchase every single combination. 4. Use his mathematical algorithm and technology to fill in every single ticket. 5. Take each personalized ticket to lottery dealers around town and pay for them. 6. Sit back and wait for his winning ticket to be called. While working as an economist in Romania, Mr. Mandel tested his creation and hoped for a second prize win by using the five numbers his formula provided while simply guessing the sixth digit. He ended up winning the major prize and was able to leave Romania and settle in Australia with his young family. Shortly after arriving down under, Mr. Mandel set to work finding his formula to the fine-tuning his formula to the Australian game. Okay, due to the immensity of possible combinations in the Australian lottery, Mr. Mandel began searching for investors with the intention of scooping up as many tickets for each major draw as possible. With 5 of 6 numbers calculated via his system, the amount of combinations became finite, and Mr. Mandel began focusing on major prizes offering more money than possible combinations. With these, he hoped to purchase every ticket option available, giving him even more chances of winning the jackpot. After 12 wins, Australian authorities began cottoning on to his grand scheme. Despite the legality of his activities, it was deemed not in the spirit of the game, and a series of laws were introduced to block him. It was made illegal for one man to purchase every ticket of the lottery. In response, Mr. Mandel found 5 business partners. Another law was enacted, which made it illegal for groups of individuals to purchase all the tickets in a lottery draw, but again, Mr. Mandel found a workaround by creating a lottery firm. Just as he overcame each hurdle, the Australian government would place another hurdle in front of him. That's crazy. Before long, Mr. Mandel grew tired of the back and forth, and he again set his sights on a greater market. When scouting other options, he learned the United States had not yet imposed the restrictions he'd experienced in Australia. He immediately got to work on cracking the American system with a particular focus on the Virginia lottery. At the time, there were 7.1 million possible number combinations in the pool, and tickets were priced at only $1 each. Mr. Mandel convinced 2,500 Australian investors to pool $2,500 each. 2 years later, in 92, the jackpot reached $27 million, and Mr. Mandel and his team purchased every single ticket. I knew that I would win six second prizes, 132 third prizes, and thousands of minor prizes, he told Planet Money. His total profit was in excess of $30 million. It resulted in a 4-year legal battle, which saw the syndicate investigated by the likes of the CIA and FBI. However, suspicions went unfounded. Despite this, laws were still changed to outlaw Mr. Mandel's technique. By 95, he filed for bankruptcy. Wow. That's a fascinating story.
Yeah.
Now, this is something that's probably not going to make you very happy. Arnold Schwarzenegger says heaven is a fantasy. Anyone that tells you something else is a fucking liar. Arnold Schwarzenegger thinks the idea of heaven is just a fantasy. The Terminator star, 75, spoke about his thoughts on what happens after death after actor Danny DeVito, 78, posed the question, what's in the future for us? It reminds me of Howard Stern's question to me. Tell me, Governor, what happens when we die? I said, nothing. You're 6 feet under. Anyone that tells you something else is a fucking liar, he said in a conversation for Interview Magazine. I said, we don't know what happens with the soul and all this spiritual stuff that I'm not an expert in, but I know that the body as we see each other now, we will never see each other again like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I can kind of agree with that. But I think, you know, Chris Pratt, which is now his son-in-law, would probably say, You know, he'd say, yeah. Heaven is a lie. He said, all right, Grandpa, time to get you to bed.
Take a nap.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Predator star admitted that speaking about death makes him uncomfortable. Well, I'll bet.
Well, yeah, when you don't know, I mean, when you don't have anything to believe in, Chris Pratt needs. Well,
yeah,
know,
he does.
The thing is, his daughter's a Christian. Yeah,
Maria
That's
Shriver.
How they got to know each other.
Yeah, his daughter and son are both Christians.
And son-in-law.
Oh, yeah, son-in-law, right. And it's weird that he just, I don't know. When people talk about, I will see them again in heaven, it sounds so good, but the reality is that we won't see each other again after we're gone. That's the sad part. I know people feel comfortable with death, but I don't, he said. The former California governor said he had lost about 15 friends from back in his bodybuilding days in the last two decades, and said the tragic news forced him to shift his perspective on an afterlife. To me, heaven is where I put a person who I love dearly, who is kind, who is generous, who makes a difference in my life and other people's lives, he explained. I keep them in a soft spot, in a spot in my head, like that front row you have of all your friends, and you always have a good feeling when you think of them. Elsewhere, the actor recently revealed that the shocking moment he crushed his ex-wife Maria Shriver's heart by revealing he was the father of their housekeeper Mildred Baena's son, Joseph. In the upcoming three-part Netflix documentary, Arnold Schwarzenegger said that Shriver, 67, confronted him in 2011 through their marriage counselor regarding the issue, according to The Sun. So, she wants to know if you're the father of Joseph, the counselor said regarding Joseph, who was born in 97. I thought my heart stopped, said the former movie star. And then I told the truth. Yes, Maria, Joseph is my son, he replied, noting that his then wife was obviously crushed by that. Okay. Forbes. I've never hired a writer better than ChatGPT. How AI is upending the freelance world. Melissa Shea hires freelancers to take on most of the basic tasks for a fashion-focused tech startup, paying $22 an hour on average for them to develop websites, transcribe audio, and write marketing copy. The third is what I'm actually good at. In January 2023, she welcomed a new member to her team, ChatGPT. At $0 an hour, the chatbot can crank out more content much faster than freelancers and has replaced three content writers she would have otherwise hired through freelancing platform Upwork. I'm really frankly worried that millions of people are going to be without a job by the end of this year, she says, co-founder of the New York-based Fashion Mingle, networking and marketing platform for fashion professionals. I've never hired a writer better than ChatGPT. Shea has not posted a job on Upwork since she discovered it, though she still has five freelancers still working for her. After it was released in November 2022, ChatGPT amassed more than 100 million users, sparked an AI arms race at companies like Microsoft, Google, and Amazon, and has given rise to a flurry of AI startups. And for small businesses looking to trim costs, the free tool can automate swaths of their operations, providing a cheaper alternative to freelance workers. Built on recent advances in generative AI, ChatGPT and its image-based sibling, DALL-E 2, can carry out work that spans most of the freelancing spectrum, from writing articles and compiling research to designing graphics, coding, and decrypting financial documents. Now, freelancers who are less experienced and don't offer specialized skills stand to lose their gigs, according to five clients that Forbes interviewed. But rather than steering clear of the AI tool that could make them obsolete, more and more relying on ChatGPT to do some, if not all, their work for them. Clients on job marketplaces like Upwork and Fiverr are being flooded with nearly identical project proposals written by ChatGPT. A bitter side effect, it's making clients dubious of the authenticity of the work turned in by freelancers and causing transactional disputes and mistrust in the freelancing community. Upwork, which booked roughly $620 million in revenue in 2022, discloses SEC filings that increased use of AI would be a threat to its business. Any use of generative artificial intelligence by users of our work marketplace may lead to additional claims of intellectual property infringement, Upwork's annual report reads. The company declined to comment on how ChatGPT has affected the rate of transactional disputes or its bottom line during a Forbes interview. We want our clients and our talent to be doing all of their diligence to make sure that their work is secure and that things are trusted, said Margaret Lalani, Vice President of Talent Solutions at Upwork. So yeah, it's getting pretty crazy. It's a longer article, but yeah, things are getting pretty crazy. ChatGPT replacing everything. People let a startup put a brain implant in their skull for 15 minutes. Precision Neuroscience brain-computer interface sits on top of the brain, not in it. That could make it easier to implant, less likely to damage tissue. Elon Musk's Neuralink isn't the only company making progress on connecting people's brains to computers. In April and May, surgeons at West... Hold on. They want to do this shit to me. Hold on. Hold up. I gotta copy that in. Give me a minute, guys. I'm going to find a, give me a minute, because I know this was backed up. I know it was backed up. All right. Okay, here we go. Now, in April and May, surgeons at West Virginia University placed thin strips of a cellophane-like material on the brains of three patients. Made by New York-based startup Precision Neuroscience, the thumbnail-sized strips are designed to conform to the surface of the brain without damaging its delicate tissue. During the 15 minutes the devices were in place, the implants were able to read, record, and map electrical activity in part of the patient's temporal lobes, which helps process sensory input. The patients were already in the hospital, have brain tumors removed, and doctors use Precision's devices alongside standard electrodes. Although just a small pilot study, it puts Precision one step closer to building a brain-computer interface, or BCI, a system that provides a direct communication link between the brain and an external device. This is the first time our technology has reached human patients, says Benjamin Rappaport, Precision's chief science officer and co-founder. Since the study posed a low risk to patients, the company didn't need permission from the FDA to carry it out. But it will need a green light from the agency to test it as part of a BCI. Neuralink recently announced that it got FDA approval to test its BCI in people, but it didn't release any details. Rappaport says that is in the near term. Precision is planning to get its device cleared by the FDA for brain mapping and diagnostic purposes as an alternative to the kinds of electrodes that are currently used to detect tumors and epileptic seizures. But the company's long-term goal is to help people who are paralyzed communicate and move. Rappaport says the company is in talks with the FDA, but didn't say when its BCI trial would begin. We're on the cusp of a new generation of more meaningful interfaces that let us restore function or mobility for patients who are disabled, says Peter Conrad, chair of neurosurgery at West Virginia University's Rockefeller Neuroscience Institute, who was involved in the pilot study. So, BCIs capture and decode brain signals, which are translated into commands and relayed to electronics that carry out actions, such as typing on a screen, controlling a computer cursor, or moving a robotic arm. Because neurons generate electrical signals, scientists can use conductive metal electrodes to record their activity. A device known as the Utah Array is currently the mainstay in BCI research. Made of hard silicon, the array is a grid the size of Abraham Lincoln's face on a U.S. penny. It has 100 tiny protruding needles coated with conductive metal that stick into the brain tissue and record the chatter of nearby neurons. Because it permeates the tissue, the Utah Array can cause inflammation and scarring around the implantation site, which leads to a decline in signal quality over time. And signal quality is important because it affects how well the BCI performs. No one actually knows how long Utah arrays can last in the brain. So far, the record is held by Nathan Copeland, whose device is now in its eighth year. Placing a Utah array also requires surgeons to perform a craniotomy, making a small hole in the skull. It's a small procedure that can cause infection and bleeding, and recovering from one takes a month or longer. Understandably, many patients may be hesitant to undergo one, even if it means regaining a degree of communication or mobility. Precision is trying to solve both issues with a device that has 1,024 electrodes but is ultra-thin, about one-fifth the thickness of a human hair, and doesn't pierce the brain tissue. Instead of a craniotomy, it would be placed using a minimally invasive procedure that involves making a small slit into the skin and skull, then sliding the implant onto the brain's outermost layer called the cortex. The very idea of doing more damage to the brain or nervous system that's already damaged is pretty fraught, says Rappaport, who is a co-founder of Neuralink. He thinks streamlining the procedure would make these systems much more attractive to patients. I don't know. It also says that the company's president and chief product officer says that the Precision Array could be taken out as easily, too. As BCI technology improves, patients who get early brain chips may eventually want to upgrade to new ones. With Utah arrays, new devices usually can't be placed in the same area due to scar tissue. With more than 1,000 electrodes, Mermel says, Precision's device will be able to provide a higher resolution of brain activity than the current arrays. Precision's arrays are also designed to be modular. Several can be connected together to collect brain signals from a bigger area. For more precise or complex actions beyond simulating basic body movements or triggering simple computer functions, you're going to want more coverage of brain regions, Mermel says. Okay, so it's kind of interesting. We're not going to go through all of it, but yeah, that is kind of cool. They're putting something in your brain that's going to help you. But there's a risk, and I think it's pretty extreme.
Oh, yeah.
Putting something in your head.
Well, foreign things, your body tries to fight off.
Yeah, it does.
I say that. I had that tube in my stomach for over a year.
That's one way to get ripped at the gym. Woman ends up half naked when her leggings are stripped off after she stumbles on the treadmill.
Yeah, I saw that video. It's hilarious.
I haven't seen the video.
Oh, you really should.
Alyssa Conkle from Illinois was at the gym on May 24th when she decided to go for a run. Viral footage shared online shows the 26-year-old dressed in a pink top and black leggings suddenly trip on the treadmill track. I'm looking at it now. Track and desperately try to cling on to the handles. As the machine keeps rolling, it catches her leggings and pulls them right down to her ankles, exposing her bottom before sending Alyssa flying off the back. Holy shit. Alyssa said, I felt so embarrassed. I had to leave immediately. I was just running at the gym and my pants got sucked off. Good night.
Yeah.
She got hurt bad. I'm looking at her bruises.
Where's the bruise look like?
Well, she's got that one on her head when she fell on
it. How fat? Yeah.
And then look at her damn legs.
Oh, yeah. She got carpet burn.
Yeah, she did.
Bad carpet burn. Well, it's not carpet burn. I've gotten it before. My grandparents used to have a treadmill that would play on it forever. And I'd get skin up knees and...
Alyssa said the treadmill was on level 10, so it was going pretty fast. It was only when I watched the video back that I saw my shoelace was untied and I tripped and fell. I jumped up like a boss, immediately to pull my pants because my butt was showing and that's where I let go. I hurt myself. I know you did. I hurt myself, my face, lip, knees, and shins are skinned. Thankfully, the gym was not too busy, but the lady who ran came back to me and asked if I was okay. She shared the video on social media channels. The video shows her running quickly on the treadmill for several seconds. We saw that. Okay, so basically, I'll read it, but you can watch it. The full video shows her running quickly on the treadmill for several seconds. She appears to trip over and lose her balance for a split second. Despite her best efforts to steady herself, arms out, she struggles to stand up straight and reaches out to grasp the handles on the machine. The bottom of Alyssa's legs make contact with the end of the machine, which she is unable to stop in the moment. Her sportswear is suddenly pulled down by the rollers on the machine, leaving her helpless while her arms are still desperately clinging on to the handles. Finally, she lets go and appears to land headfirst onto the moving treadmill with her arms by her side. Alyssa, defeated, is thrown off by the machine and collects herself on the ground. She said, "This also happened when I was 10 years old and skinned my chin, so now I'm really afraid of treadmills. Damn! Let's see, there's something else people are watching. Let's see here if this is new. Yes. Disgraced senior police officer, 58, to appear in court accused of failing to disclose bank details and a trip abroad after she was found guilty of having a child porn video on her phone. This is a German Shepherd. A highly decorated police officer convicted of possessing a child abuse video on her phone has been charged with 5 further offenses. Superintendent Novlet Robin Williams, who was committed for her work after the Grenfell Tower disaster, was sentenced to 200 hours of community service for possession of an indecent image in November of 2019. That's all? We found child porn. Now you gotta clean the...
Something you never want to say out loud.
That's ridiculous. Like, we found child porn. Now we gotta have you clean the walls. Clean the graffiti off the walls,
That'll teach you a lesson.
That'll
let that be a lesson to you.
Yeah.
No diddling kids now. I want that to be a clean wall.
During her trial at the Old Bailey, Jurors heard that she received a child abuse video by WhatsApp from her older sister, Jennifer Hodge, so the officer could investigate the footage. Oh! Okay, that's kind of different. Even so... but she failed to report the clip, and while the court accepted she had not viewed it... Oh, she had not seen it.
Yeah.
The jury was not convinced she was unaware of it being on her phone. She was dismissed from the Metropolitan Police after disciplinary hearing, and March 2020 found her conviction amounted to gross misconduct. But in 2021, she successfully appealed against a decision to dismiss her following her conviction and was reinstated as a police officer. So, it was something that somebody had sent her that was child abuse, and they wanted her to check it out. But she knew better, and she didn't delete it off her phone. So, yeah. That's on her. If somebody had sent me something like that, I was like, I'm sorry, I don't even want to see anything like that.
You just immediately have to call the police.
You have to delete that. Williams was placed on the sex offenders register for 5 years as part of her sentencing. Now she has been charged with failing to notify police of information required 5 times between November 22nd of 2019 and December 11th of 2021. The Crown Prosecution Service said failed to notify police of details of a credit card account, the credit card number, validation date, and expiry date of a credit card held. Oh, yeah, we don't care about all that. So she got in trouble for all this other shit. Wow. Okay, I mean, that's a completely different situation than I thought it was. But, yeah. That's still pretty fucked up. Be careful what people send you online, folks. Okay, so I was gonna do like a big story video on this. I don't know, story. When I say story video, I mean like I was gonna do a separate thing. But this is important. I'm sure it's been covered, but I'm covering it especially because it does pertain here. Okay, guys. New York Post. Why more U.S. men are falling victim to Japan's antisocial hikikomori trend. In Japan, an estimated 1.5 million people, many of them young men, now live in complete isolation. The problem has grown so severe that the Japanese have a term for it, hikikomori, one who literally withdraws from society. And some 6,000 miles away, the United States is experiencing its own form. During a recent interview with Chris Williamson, a British podcaster based in Austin, Texas... Doesn't make sense, but whatever. The political economist Nicholas Eberstadt discussed the fact that 7 million men of prime working age are currently without employment and not seeking jobs. Many of these men, he said, spend inordinate amounts of time indoors, totally withdrawn from society. They play video games, they watch pornography, and they tend to engage in heavy drug use, according to the author of Men Without Work.
Yeah, so...
Work carried out by academics at Kyushu University in Japan has found that a low testosterone level is one of the common metabolic signatures in hikikomori and young social recluses, which is important to note because testosterone levels among young American men are plummeting and have been for years. The drop now reportedly affects 1 in 4 men in the U.S. It's commonly assumed that testosterone fuels antisocial behavior.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. Really, they need to worry about the epidemic of low testosterone. They need to be finding out what everyone's getting that's causing it.
Yeah, there's probably
a lot. Because, you know, it's something that everyone's commonly getting.
Right.
If so many are
lacking. That's true. In December, Avatar director James Cameron made headlines when he claimed that testosterone is a toxin that needs to be worked out of one's system.
You know, it just makes no sense why people... tried to, because you know someone's behind it and it's intentional.
Oh, yeah. Last month, NPR discussed the association between toxic masculinity and testosterone. But this belief is not supported by science. There's no strong evidence to suggest that men with higher levels of testosterone are overly aggressive or violent. On the contrary, testosterone has been linked to more social behavior in males, while low testosterone levels in males are associated with social anxiety and socially submissive or avoidant behaviors. People with social anxiety are at an increased risk of developing depression. Moreover, according to Cleveland Clinic, low testosterone levels often mimic symptoms of depression. Research carried out by Dr. David Terberg, an expert in human behavior, has shown the many ways in which testosterone improves both individual behavior and broader cooperation. In one study, Terberg and his colleagues identified a clear association between the administration of testosterone and increased levels of social cooperation and better moral judgment. Low testosterone, otherwise known as hypogonadism, meanwhile, was associated with brain fog, poor memory and focus, and an overall lack of mental clarity. Wow. Men lacking testosterone are also at an increased risk of developing noticeably larger breasts, a condition known as gynecomastia. I only know macromastia, which is when women have extremely huge breasts. That's actually a fetish of mine. Research carried out last year by scientists at Emory University identified the ways in which testosterone influences the hypothalamus, part of the brain responsible for the creation of oxytocin, the so-called love hormone, which also mediates the risk of social withdrawal and rises in tandem with testosterone. Mark Spritzer, a behavioral and neuroendocrinologist at Middlebury College, whose research focuses on the cognitive benefits of testosterone, told The Post that there is now considerable evidence that testosterone enhances some forms of learning and memory. Moreover, he added, there are a number of students that have shown that low testosterone is a risk factor in Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia in older men. His research has also shown that testosterone stimulates the growth of brain-derived neurotrophic factors. BDNF plays a vital role in memory recall, learning, and decision-making. Social isolation and other stressors, known to Dr. Spritzer, cause adult neurogenesis to decrease, and we found that testosterone can help reverse the negative effects of social isolation on the brain. So there you go. So there you go. Yeah. Okay, now, here's something crazy. Nothing could have prepared me for this. Woman leaves internet in uproar after claiming her boyfriend cheated on her with his own mother. A woman has caused quite the stir online after claiming that her boyfriend cheated on her with his own mother. TikTok user Emma, believed to be based in the U.S., took to the video sharing platform to make the scandalous revelation. She explained how she should probably go to therapy to discuss the alleged encounter. And viewers were left horrified as one claimed, nothing could have prepared me for this. And she's gorgeous. The clip, which was uploaded last week, has taken the internet by storm, having so far been viewed more than 5.2 million times. In it, the heartbroken social media user can be seen laying down as she gazes towards the camera. She maintains a vacant facial expression throughout the video and does not say a single word. It's only 5 seconds, though, so yeah. Instead, she lets the overlaid text tell the sordid story. It reads, me realizing that my ex cheating on me with his own mother is something that I should go to therapy for, not something that I just joke with my friends about. She uploaded the clip alongside a caption that read, I'd be like, hey, remember that one time? And viewers were left stunned by the shocking anecdote. One wrote, I think everybody involved in the situation should also go to therapy. Another added, I just nervously laughed. I can't handle this info. And a third said, the way I moved closer to the phone to make sure I was reading that right. Many others asked Emma to produce a follow-up video in order to lay the bare bare the full details of the story. But she has yet to give her 18,000 followers any further detail. The identity of the ex-boyfriend she's referring to is unclear. It could be a Senator Armstrong situation, folks. And for those of you that don't know what a Senator Armstrong situation is, my source says I made it the fuck up. Yeah. Okay, so there was a big deal with Apple's $3,500 headset, but Wired asked a question, and I'll probably have to put this in archive to read it, because you know how they are. It's going to be, oh, you gotta pay to read this article. No, I'm not paying to read your fucking article. You can go suck my dick. I'm not fucking worried about that. So, okay. Oh yes, one day ago, Wired asked the question, do people actually want to wear a headset all the time? Living in mixed reality is cool, but you're still walking around with silly digital ski goggles on your face. And how cool is that? VR headsets are having a moment. And now that Apple's making one, the things might even stick around for a while, assuming enough people actually want to wear them. Apple followed up a week stuff with virtual reality news. Meta has a new headset, and so does Lenovo, by debuting its own mixed reality headset, the Vision Pro, during its WWDC keynote yesterday. Nearly a decade after Google Glass was mocked relentlessly online,
Apple's announcement has roused similar chorus of questions, like, why? And okay, really, but why?
Exactly.
Oh, TFM has gotten back to me about the ragdoll girl. He says she just wants attention. She's like the Kazakhstani bodybuilder guy who got famous for marrying his sex doll and then started doing outrageous things to get more articles written about him. That seems fair.
Yeah,
that definitely seems fair, because it's so outlandish. She was talking about, what, her ragdoll son being kidnapped and a 7,000, come on now. She's just wanting attention. Okay, anyway, it says, Apple's aluminum goggles look finely engineered, but the examples the company showed of the Vision Pro being used aren't the type of scenarios where a face computer would be practical or comfortable. Apple fell into the same trap as Meta, which encouraged people to wear a VR headset to business meetings by showing how the Vision Pro headset could put the wearer front and center in a video conferencing work call. Even if Apple captures the imagination of the hustle culture and finds a user base willing to strap on a $3,500 headset to condition columns in ARXL. Yeah, think about it. Would you put on a $3,500 headset to work in Microsoft Excel?
No.
Or anything. Any kind of augmented reality Excel.
No.
Wearability would still be a problem. Apple hasn't said how much the Vision Pro will weigh. Or exactly how long the battery will last. A couple of hours, maybe less. But we can tell from the videos and images it did share that the device is bulky and tethered to an external battery pack. People's tolerance for wearing something on their head for an extended period of time is limited, says Leo Gebbi, a VR analyst at CCS Insights. If it's something that people are going to wear all day, it needs to be slim and light and comfortable. No one has really achieved that just yet in the VR world. Plus, like TFM said a long time ago, it's hot. The thing, it's like a computer, you know, when you have a computer on, it heats up. So you're wearing something that's going to considerably build heat. You don't want to wear that on a hot day.
No.
Especially on your eyes. Apple's headset, like others before it, is a mixed reality device, meaning it allows users to interact with virtual elements while allowing some of the real world to bleed through. That real-world video pass-through is something Apple focused on during the Vision Pro reveal by positioning the device as something you could wear while walking around without constantly bumping into furniture. TFM also said that was his biggest problem wearing VR. He said, man, I liked using Honey Select, but he's one of those guys that he gets dizzy after wearing it for a long time. My mother has that problem, too. But, he said, you really have to be in an open space because you're going to fall over everything.
Yeah.
You can't see. It's literally the screen. Some people are going to really hurt themselves using this thing. And, countertops, pets, and children. Yeah. Imagine you got kids running around and you got a damn VR headset on you. Gonna end up walking over your damn child or kicking them or bud.
10 kids killed today. I just thought they were speed bumps.
Yeah, it's like, man, it felt real when I hit that enemy.
Yeah, punched your kid across
the fucking room. But Apple's AR Vision is still packaged in a VR headset, a wraparound device that obscures your entire field of vision. Jong Yuen, a director analyst at the tech analysis firm Gartner, says it leads to the head-in-the-box problem. Something like Google Glass or Meta's Facebook Ray-Bans may not be as feature-rich as Vision Pro, but at least you can see around their frames. Apple's headset has a physical knob that lets you adjust how much of the screen is taken up by digital elements, but you're still relying on a screen to pump the real-world visuals in. Video pass-through is essentially your head-in-a-box, he says. Also, the screens we use every day aren't totally reliable. You probably have the experience where you want to snag a photo or a video of something, so you launch your phone's camera app, only to see the image stutter or the app crash. Now imagine that happening with your entire field of vision. If I have my head in a box, I don't want any videos stuttering, especially if I'm crossing the street, he says. If something goes wrong, you're left in the dark. Something we haven't touched on yet is the pure goofiness factor of it. The headsets just don't look cool. One of Apple's promotional videos showed somebody wearing a Vision Pro headset on an airplane ride. Though the most unrealistic part about that fantasy was none of the passengers on the plane were staring at her weird, goggle-clad face. At her weird, goggle-clad face. Gebby, who recently took a trip by plane, says the devices just aren't unobtrusive enough to become a regular thing that people wear. I could have brought a headset and sat on the plane and watched Netflix on a huge virtual screen, he says. I didn't, because that'd be extremely embarrassing. VR headsets will likely become slimmer, less cumbersome, and easier to wear over the next few years, and by then, brandishing one in public may not feel as odd. But there's yet another problem they'll still have to overcome, the sense of isolation that comes from immersive experiences. Apple's video pitching the Vision Pro as an entertainment device showed people strapping the device to their heads, battery-packed stuff in their pockets, then kicking back on their couches to watch some movies on their own personal gigantic screens, alone. Apple is also positioning its headset as a social device, one that allows enhanced FaceTime features or calls with friends. But every social feature Apple showed was being demonstrated by people alone in their homes connecting with someone far away. The Vision Pro, at least the version we saw during the WWC keynote, has no real way to share the experience with someone near you or in your own home. If you want to interact with the other humans in your vicinity, you can do so by showing them a creepy AR-tinted image of your eyes peering out from behind the Vision Pro's glass front. Disney Plus will also be available on the device. You can use it to watch kids' movies. But you'd think people would want to watch Disney movies with their actual kids, not alone in their AR headspace while staring sadly at a movie projected over the video pass through their kitchen counter. I don't know. I think they're overdoing it. I think that there are people that will just fucking love this shit. And, I mean, again, you can still communicate with people across the... I mean, I don't necessarily think it's lonely when I put on an open mic. There's a lot of chatter that goes on in there. I mean, oh, the person's not next to you. But it doesn't mean they can't fucking see me talk. They can't hear me talk, and I can't hear them talk, and we can't have a conversation. I think conversation is a very good thing. There's social activity going on in there. If I can see the people, I mean, just because they're not physically there, it doesn't mean I'm lonely and alone in my own area. They're all doing their thing. Everybody is able to commute. Like, I can talk to people from across the world, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's the coolest thing in the world. And instead of just having a few people in my neighborhood or whatever, I've got this guy from Greece, this guy from China, this guy from, you know, and even other states. Like somebody in Texas or somebody in California or somebody in whatever state. You know, they don't have to go to where I'm at. I mean, that's cool. That's interesting if people do meetups. But being able to see each other and talk like that would still be cool. You could put on your glasses. They'd have their glasses. And you're all sitting in a room basically Star Trek style. And you can see each other's virtual table, you know. And you're basically talking like that. A virtual bar. Virtual sex. I mean, it's whatever. Oh, well, we can't fucking in the real... Like, it's too far away. Well, we can do this. Yeah. I mean, hell, get your Lovin's device. I'll get mine. We'll fucking get this going and have a good time. I mean, yeah, it's a little... It's a little... What's that damn movie? What's that movie? Demolition Man. It's a little Demolition Man. A little bit. But, you know, because, you know, the way things are and, you know, we have... And no, not even the way things are. It's more of the fact that people are such long distances from each other that people that might be interested in you, you might not be able to get to right away or may not have the funds to get to or they might not have the funds to get to you. But y'all still want to hang out and get intimate and talk and all that kind of thing. And, I mean, it's better than not being there, you know. I think it's good. It's good for couples, too, I think, if they're far apart. I mean, I'm not saying you'll never meet this person, which, I mean, you might not. But if you do meet the person, at least you get a chance to interact with them in an environment where you can see them and, you know, oh, yeah, that you're cool to hang out with and you get a feel for somebody. So, we'll see how that works. Besides, long-form video is just awkward in VR, says Ewan. Head in a box is a snacking exercise, he says. The ideal use time is a little bit here, a little bit there, not hours on end. Realistically, as long as VR or AR headsets are such a solitary and comfortable experience, people are just aren't going to want to wear them for long. I don't know. I disagree. Again, I strongly disagree with him. Because, again, I don't think... I mean, yes, he's an analyst or whatever, but that doesn't mean... I don't know how much of this he does. Like, you analyze things, but do you do them? Do you have any experience? That's my question to you in here. Have you talked with people on VR? Have you been to VR chat? Have you seen VR sex? Have you had VR sex? Have you had... I mean, it's important. I mean, if you're an analyst, I think you should have these experiences. Maybe I'm questioning his, it's like, oh, well, I have, yeah. Look, I don't want somebody to give me information about cars that's never worked on a fucking car.
Oh, yeah.
I got that question to give it over here. It's like, oh, so I have to, yes. Start, and then all of a sudden, get on Twitter and be like, okay, ladies, who wants to have virtual sex with Mr. Guin here? And like, oh, shit, I wish I never wrote that fucking article. It's like, that's how we gotta do it. Like, come on, ladies, I'm sure Mr. Guin's a great... I mean, somebody will bang him, I don't care. Like, what is this? What does this guy look like? I'm curious now. Let's see. And... Guin, VR analyst. Let's see, he's a virtual reality analyst. Jongnoo Guin. Oh, well. Okay, sir. I see you. No. Okay, somebody do give this Asian man. He's a. Yeah. This guy. This is the guy we're talking about. Yeah. Like. Throw him a bone.
Boy,
I don't.
That looks like a meme.
That's him. Throw him a bone. Like, is he married? I gotta know.
He's Asian, but he looks like.
I gotta know. Is he? Like, is he actually? Let's see. He's a quality assurance analyst at Lucky VR, based in Ontario, Canada. Avoid VR goggles like, if you like me, you're not good with. Oh, he's already saying that he wants to avoid. I don't know. I don't even think he's married. Let me see. I'm gonna find out. Tongyu Guin. Let's see if this guy's actually got anything going on in his life. VR analyst. Wife. I don't see nothing. Let's see. Gartner.com. Let's see what he's got. Alright, I'm at his page right now. Okay, so. That's not the right guy, is it? Is this really the guy? Oh, he looks like Kim Jong-un a little bit. No, I'm not even lying. I'm not even saying that because he's Asian. That's him. Literally. Yeah, this is the guy. 24 years industry experience, 23 years at Gartner. So he's like in his 40s. He's got a BA in economics. I don't know, man. I don't think this guy... Honestly, I don't think this... Yeah. He might be a little too old. Now, maybe he'll get a taste of VR sex one day and he'll be like, you know what? I take back what I said. I would love to have him on for a show one day. Have him on with Revy. Oh, man. That would be great. Okay, you got an analyst and another. That would be interesting. All right. So, here's another, we got another one, I think this will be the last one. A new book makes the case for valuing more types of relationships. Psychology Today. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know if I announced the article. Anyway, the article is called A World Without Marriage. Nearly three decades ago, Princess Diana famously said, there were three of us in the marriage, and the world has never forgotten. But in the U.S. and other places too, there are three entities in every marriage, the two spouses, and the government. What's the government doing there? In her just published book, Course It's a Woman. Oh wow, it's a woman that's telling us not to get married, men! When men say it, but when a woman says it, oh, you go, girl! Yeah, women empowerment, female empowerment! Moving past marriage, why we should ditch marital privilege, eschew relationship status discrimination, and embrace non-marital history, literature professor Jacqueline Giller of Central Connecticut State University makes a compelling case for getting the government out of the marriage business. Of course, in the U.S., that's highly unlikely possibility, but at least in the short run. But individuals can make the choice to not marry. So, what does this woman look like? Let's see. Oh my god. Oh, wow. That's the woman.
Good lord, she looks like she eats pussy for breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah, she is like lesbian. If you look up the word lesbian in the dictionary, you're going to find it.
Except she's a little malnourished for a bulldog.
Lesbian upset with straight people getting married. Writes book on how straight people don't need to get married and how marriage is privilege. I don't know. Maybe she couldn't find a good lesbian woman to marry, or I don't know. But why should
lesbians don't like cunts that aren't clean?
But why should two people who love each other and want to commit to each other choose not to marry? The subtitle says it all, and those three arguments are presented compellingly and with considerable wit throughout the book. First, ditching marital privilege. Government-sanctioned marriage unfairly privileges married people. I have often mentioned the hundreds of benefits and protections that people get just for being legally married. The legalities are just the start. Married people are privileged in many other ways as well. Second, ending relationship status discrimination. The disadvantaging of people who are not married and the people who matter to them is the flip side of advantaging married people. Third, embracing non-marital history. Geller scours centuries of history to uncover, or rather unearth, the unheralded place, of people who have never married. Such individuals kept showing up as achievers, community builders, and thought leaders. I discovered never-married forebearers whose numbers were substantial. They were neither a tiny minority nor a lunatic fringe. Their impact on culture was incalculable. It's personal, how singless laws and policies matter in our lives. About those ways in which married people are elevated above all others and people who are not married are devalued to Geller, that is, all that is personal. She has deep, long-lasting, and sustaining friendships. She is very close to her sister. She has been in a romantic relationship for years. But legally and informally, too, none of those people count, not in the way a spouse would. Rather than just reciting the laws and policies that separate the married from the not married, Geller shows us in dozens of ways how they matter in her own life. For example, she is paid into Social Security with every paycheck. She wants to name her sister as beneficiary. Surprise! She's never been married, so she can't name a beneficiary. When she dies, her contributions go back to the system, a system that uses money to pay benefits to the married people's surviving spouses, and maybe even an array of ex-spouses if they meet certain requirements. If Geller's sister or her romantic partner or one of her cherished friends falls ill, she cannot take time off under the Federal Family and Medical Leave Act to care for them, and they cannot do the same if she needed their care. The issue isn't just that the important people in the lives of the never married are protected in this significant way and so many others, it is also that much more broadly, they just aren't regarded as important. Friends are seen as just friends. No matter how close a lifelong single person may be to a friend or relative, no matter that their relationship may have lasted far longer than many marriages, no matter how interconnected their lives may be, none of these people will count as a significant other. Marital discrimination goes beyond just federal laws. There are state and local laws, too, that unfairly privilege married people and disadvantage never married people. There is singleism in many policies and practices in workplaces, marketplaces, religious institutions, and just about every significant domain of life. For example, do you think spousal hires are a good idea? Geller has a thing or two to say about that. Her one-sentence answer to the question is of why we should move past marriage is this. Pushing for a marriage-free society, we non-marital Americans can celebrate our lives savoring the joys of living alone, creating fluid, loving families, and giving our partnerships respect that the current marriage system withholds. Moving past marriage is chock full of points worth pondering. Here I'll mention just a few. Progress happens, but sometimes it is rendered invisible. Laws and policies and practices do sometimes change in the direction of greater fairness for people who are not married. For example, Geller notes that in 2010, the Obama administration updated hospital visitation rules such that hospitals participating in Medicaid or Medicare would need to honor patients' wishes about visitors. Spouses would no longer get automatic top billing. The president's memorandum about these new rules, though, never mentioned this provision. The relevance of rules for race, sex, sexual orientation, and religion was noted, but marital status did not make it into the memorandum. Change toward greater fairness, slow and steady? I've always imagined that change towards greater fairness for singles would be incremental. Geller believes that something different may happen, that there will be a galvanizing movement after which nothing is the same, comparable to what happened after Stonewall or the Seneca Falls Convention. How marriage gets elevated and stays that way. Transhistorically, she argues, marriage has often gotten propped up by legal force, social pressure, religious dicta, economic reward status accorded those... economic return rewards status accorded those who conform, and punishments imposed on people who dissent or renege. Freedom from some financial risk, divorce can be expensive. But if we were to move past marriage, she notes, no one will have to worry that a truncated romance might drain them financially. Okay, that's a MGTOW talking point. People who resist marriage get treated condescendingly. Geller's critique of marriage is long-standing, dating back at least as far as when she published Here Comes the Bride, Women's Weddings and the Marriage Mystique. She has thought deeply, researched extensively, and written forcefully, and yet she has been subject to some of the same dismissive reactions that some of us who are single at heart know all too well. For example, she's been told that her resistance to marriage is just a phase. What about the children? Anyone who dares to challenge the special place of marriage is likely to hear that dismantling of marriage would hurt children. Rather than just saying that children would not be harmed, she makes a bolder statement. She says that there would be benefits for the children. The state will remain obligated to protect minors from physical and emotional abuse. Its duty will ward an interest in capable adult caretakers, not spouses. No one will be made to feel second rate for being born out of wedlock. Without matrimony as the dividing line between family and non-family, non-marital households will not be considered second rate. Moving past marriage doesn't reduce our choices, it multiplies them. In 2010, Rachel Butterberg and I shared here at Living Single the perspectives of dozens of people and organizations already arguing in their own ways for moving past marriage. Michael Kinsley was one of them. And abolish marriage, let's really get the government out of our bedrooms, he explained how freeing this could be. End the institution of government-sanctioned marriage. Privatize marriage. Let churches and other religious institutions continue to offer marriage ceremonies. Let department stores and casinos get into the act if they want. Let each organization decide for itself what kinds of couples it wants to offer marriage to. Let couples celebrate their union in any way they choose and consider themselves married whether they want to or not. Oh, excuse me. That's not good. That's not what she said. Let couples celebrate their union in any way they choose and consider themselves married whenever they want. Let others be free to consider them not married under rules these others may prefer. And yes, if three people want to get married, or one person wants to marry herself, and someone else wants to conduct a ceremony and declare them married, let them. If you and your government aren't implicated, what do you care? So, yeah. That is interesting. Got an article here from Mark Hamill. Says he sees no reason to play Luke Skywalker again. He said he remains open to returning to the role, but he doesn't see a reason to play the character again. Especially after they kind of destroyed him, for all those that watched The Last Jedi. And we've got... Let's see, I said this is going to be the last, but I think I've got two more. This one and one more. Why sex workers make better partners. Adult actress Angela White, and of course they spelled her name wrong here, reveals the truth about dating a porn star and the best thing they do in the bedroom. I wonder what that could be. Australia's most prolific porn star, Angela White, has revealed what it's really like to date a sex worker. Speaking on the Inside OnlyFans podcast, White, who has appeared in more than 900 hardcore scenes, said sex workers often make for better partners because of their good communication skills. Relationships are difficult no matter what your occupation is, she explained. There's different issues that we have to deal with, but if anything, we've learned to become so good at communicating what we need in a relationship sexually that I feel like we are better communicators in many ways. White, 38, is thought to be single despite being intensively private about her personal life off camera. Fans of the Buxom Brunette were recently left devastated as... Oh, well, we talked about that. Okay, we talked about all that, but that's pretty much all she has to say. Oh, they... They're better listeners and communicators. I don't know. But we have the final article. This is a little different. It's from the New Fury. If it fucking loads, it might not load. Good. Okay. New Fury. It's time to retire the outdated idea of the musical guilty pleasure. I agree with this. I haven't read the article yet, so I don't know if I agree with all the points in it. But I listen to everything. Anyway, generally speaking, but especially when it comes to sports, it's better to retire while your skills and athletic abilities haven't diminished all the way. Nobody wants to be the person who faded away instead of burning out, unless you're Bad Omens, which of course is a jab against a band I actually like, while the light was still shining brightly. One idea that should just retire now, however, is the outdated concept of the guilty pleasure. Chances are you already know what we're talking about, the idea that somehow, for some reason, it's been established that you should feel guilty for liking some kind of art that's outside of your usual choice or demographic. Specifically when it comes to music, this likely means metalheads that listen to pop music, R&B, hip-hop, or really anything that might be, oh my god, popular. That word tends to scare a lot of people. First things first. The chocolate starfish is my man Fred Durst. Okay. Contrary to what some music critics might tell you, nobody's going to take away your brutal metalhead card for listening to, say, Dua Lipa. At least that hasn't happened yet, to our knowledge anyway. By the way, guys, I listen to a lot of shit you wouldn't think I listen to, and I like it, but I definitely listen to some brutal shit today, too, so it's a big mix. At least that hasn't happened yet, to our knowledge anyway. If anything, listening to more than one specific genre of music will likely improve your appreciation for your preferred choices. We can almost 100% promise that nobody's going to care if you listen to Break Stuff on a 10-hour loop. And I like fucking Limp Bizkit. You know, there's a version of No Sex that was a demo, and it's got Aaron Lewis on it.
Yeah.
From Stained. I really like that song, but I didn't realize that he actually did some lines in the background. The reason why they didn't release that version is unknown to me, but it would have been good. I think it would have made that song a lot better. Anyway, something else to note is most of the prominent bands in the scene listen to music other than the genres they play in. Levy Benton of Miss May I, huge hip-hop fans. Bad Omens, they have a lot of pop influence. Deftones and Linkin Park, both like them, are all over the place in how they incorporate hip-hop, electronic music, ambient soundscapes, and dream pop into their core rock metal sound. The reverse is sometimes true as well. Colombian reggaeton megastar J Balvin grew up on Nirvana and Metallica, and even has a Nirvana tattoo prominently on his knee. Demi Lovato, she's a huge metalhead. Yeah, she is. Ed Sheeran, well, he clearly grew up listening to bands like Bring Me the Horizon, and now they're collaborating. And Cradle of Filth, which we still haven't gotten that song yet from. It's really not all that surprising that most people tend to listen to more than one genre of music. The reality is, though, that most people don't actually care if you're a 32-year-old man who listens to Taylor Swift in the car, or a 19-year-old college student that listens to Whitechapel loudly in the car while wearing a floral print dress. What you should care about, though, is ignoring anyone who makes you feel guilty for liking something that is unexpected or surprising. If you want to listen to Black Bear, I've listened to a few of his songs. I like, what was that song? Hot Girl Bummer. Hot Girl Bummer, and of course they have the Queen of Hearts. There's two songs I know from him. Hot Girl Bummer Anthem and Queen of Hearts are the two I listen to. What's weird about Black Bear, though, is he's like a dude in his 30s and 40s, married with kids, writing shit that is clearly made for high school and college students. So it's just really... Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's like, okay, dude, you're writing about a world that you never lived in. It's like you're reading shit online and writing it based on that, but you're not actually there to experience anything. To me, it would make more sense that a person that actually is in that stuff wrote about it, because they would actually know what they're talking about. But, yeah, if you want to listen to Cannibal Corpse and Aphex Twin on the same playlist, you really shouldn't let anyone stop you. Now, I'll be honest, because when I was young, like as a teenager, I would always get, oh, that's, you're a poser if you listen to that. Oh, you listen to this. It was literally a thing. They would call you a poser. Oh, yeah. You're not a real metalhead. You listen to, like, even like Slipknot or Korn. What do you mean you don't listen to the Cannibal Corpse or Pantera or Fear Factory or anything? Which I like all them fucking bands, and I still listen to them. But, hey, I got Slipknot and Korn and Limp Bizkit, and I think there was even, like, that first Kid Rock. I like that one. And when I mean the first Kid Rock, I mean Devil Without a Cause. I don't mean, like, you know, the old the grit sandwiches for breakfast. I never really listened to that much. But, yeah, there's a lot of music that I dig, you know. Seven Dust is coming out with a new one this week. And Queens of the Stone Age comes out with one next week after all these years. Finally going to release a brand new album from Queens of the Stone Age. So, looking forward to that, as always. So much good music coming out. What was it? Avenged Sevenfold released that really good record. Just a lot of stuff on that. They'd even give you shit for Tenacious D, even though I fucking love Tenacious D. I like a lot of their songs, too. So, yeah. I think this shit needs to die. It was a big issue in my... And they were trying to gatekeep. And I understand. Like, you don't want metal to become pop and pop to become metal. But that doesn't mean you can't fucking listen to both, you know? But I don't think you can call something like Sleep Token metal. Like, I listened to it, and yeah, there's some heavy shit and some growls in, like, 3 of the 10 of the 12 songs on there, maybe a little more, but most of it is pop music, and most of it has the legit pop structure and sound. It doesn't sound like heavy metal at all. It may have some hard rock elements, but I wouldn't call it metal. Same thing, I was listening to Spirit Box today. I hadn't really heard of Spirit Box. And I was noticing that, yeah, there's some, where she's like, you didn't take out the trash. But then there's shit where she's singing like Evanescence stuff. And a lot of it, like, it just sounds legit like Evanescence with djent riffs. Like, dun, 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 and she's just singing pop music or Taylor Swift kind of stuff to it. And not that it's bad, it's just, I really can't call it metal. It's hard rock to me. There's nothing wrong with fucking... But there's nothing wrong with hard rock. You can listen to hard rock. I like hard rock. We have the hard rock station on while the... You know, when we were going back from the hospital. There's good stuff on there. So, at any rate, I think that's going to be it for this one. And we're glad we could bring you the whole show this time. And this will be the Grim Lord and Dead Penetration. And we'll see you next time on Grim Rant Show. Enjoy the decline.